We give you our yes this morning. We just say, yes, though, yes. I remember back in the day, that was like the bass jam to shred, you know. But, Lord, we give you our yes. Can you just say yes? Yes. Yes. Lord, whatever you want to do, you have our yes. And we love you and we bless you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to kind of redo a little bit. I know some of you are here just kind of hanging out, so hopefully it's a little better the second time around. But I'm also going to unpack some things that I didn't feel like I had time to unpack. I won't do the eternal gospel, don't worry. But, yeah, and then tonight, so what I'm going to speak about tonight is I'm going to kind of build on culture, right? Because ultimately, I know this house is a house that's called not just to be here, but to reproduce. See, everything God does, there's a reason there's 8 billion people on the planet, right? Everything God does is about multiplication. Everything he does is about reproducing, right? That's why the bugs are all over the place right now. You're like, oh, what's up with these things, right? That's the nature of the kingdom. So we're going to talk about how do we reproduce, how do we multiply, what's our job, what's God's job, all those things. So, and again, I'm going to be speaking again this morning. I'm going to be speaking about what we're doing corporately as a church, but also I want to be clear, like every principle that I'm giving us for what we're doing as the body works in your life too. So it's not just about what happens when we come to church, just like we talked about earlier this morning. It's about what happens when we leave here, right? And I'm telling you, if you can grasp these principles, see, it says, it's actually, what is it? Psalm 105, it says this, it said, Israel knew the deeds of God. Moses knew the ways. See, most of the time in church, we're learning about the deeds. You know, oh, Noah, he built an ark, and Jonah was in the whale. Or, you know, if you get clever, it's interesting. Like, what this church, guys, first of all, is not normal, right? I want to look at your neighbor and be like, you're not normal. But I say that in a good way because, like, most churches are, is this, we settle for illustrations instead of revelation, right? Most churches, like, instead of walking in the manifestation of what God wants to do, it's like they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, you know? And it's like, if I wanted that, man, I'd just go to the Rotary Club, man, you know? Go play golf on Sundays, right? I'm not interested in that. See, what I'm interested in is this, like, Lord, what can you do with a man that's fully yielded to you? That's what Jesus was. See, Jesus was man. Everything that Jesus did, that's why he had to go and say, all right, I'm going to get away with my Father. We talked about being in the secret place earlier. Everything he did was the, yes, he was God, but he operated out of the same realm that we operate in. And so our job is to say, hey, how do I figure this out? Like, honestly, I was praying for our brother over there with his hand, and I'm like, dude, just pop out of there, man. And it grieves my spirit that I'm not operating in a place of greater authority where the things that I do, it's crazy to me. You think about it in the Bible, right? Peter would just walk by somebody in his shadow. They'd be like, just dive under his shadow, bro. You know? Paul, this is kind of gross, man. Like, we're all about the antibacterial, you know, everybody's, you know, till our hands are all dried out and we're itchy. Man, why are my hands always itchy, right? It's because we're, but like, Paul would sweat on stuff. He'd be in the shop being like, man, they'd be like, grab that rag, hurry up. Isn't that wild? Why? Because here's what it is, and this is the revelation. This is the Holy Spirit, you know, let this be an upper room, right? It's this. How can I get more of you? Now, here's the issue. See, it's you can't give anything except for out of the overflow. That's the issue. So most of us are walking around half empty. Right? Most of us are walking around, we're not full. So what God never wants you to do is this, and this works with giving too. You hear, I've been in churches before where they're like shaking people down for money. They're like, you look like you have money, come give an offering. Your job is never to give except for out of the overflow. So anything that's not overflowing is yours. That's what God wants to bless you with. Here's the issue though. You have to go for overflow. Because that's where other people are blessed. See, that's why I'm going to talk about dominion, but there's three big lies that have come against the church. Number one, this is a more recent one. You can just stay home. It's you and Jesus, right? You're just hanging out. You can watch a little Joel Osteen on YouTube, have some communion, and call it a day, right? That's a big lie, because there's a power in agreement. Jesus always says, where two or more are gathered, right? There is something about a corporate body that can break through. And again, talking about dominion, I'm going to unpack this. There's something about getting enough people. You know, for a while there, the church kind of hijacked the Malcolm Gladwell tipping point message, you know? But there is a tipping point that happens. See, we're sharing up in the room. What I see in Kings Fairmont right now, first of all, it's got to get rebranded. It's not just Fairmont, right? This church is called to regional authority, right? So it's probably should be called like, it's not my job to rename stuff, right? Although if you think about it, it was Adam's job to name things, and whatever Adam called it, that was his name, right? That's power too. But this is Kings, West Virginia, right? Maybe it's already called Kings, West Virginia. But the point is this church has regional authority, but what we need is a tipping point. See, I was sharing with Pastor Brad. I feel like you guys have been out. You did the hard part. You swam out to where the waves are. First, you got to get past the beach where they're like, right? You're like, oh, never going to make it, right? But then when you get out to where the waves are, then suddenly you got to start swimming to try to catch that wave, and you miss it, and it goes past, right? I feel like as a body right now, I'm just speaking this prophetically, you guys are ready to catch the wave. And it's that tipping point. So be faithful. You got to press through. Don't wear out. Don't be weary in well-doing, right? And one thing I set it up in the room before the first service, but I'm going to release this. This is a prophetic word, okay? Add a zero. I'm speaking it over this body as an ecclesia, okay? But I want to speak that over your life too. For the body, attendance. You know, we were talking about, well, we want to get to 100. No, let's get to 1,000. And then people, here's the second lie. Oh, well, we just want to be small. Why do we have to be big? You know, I don't know, because Jesus loves people and he died for them. Maybe they deserve to hear about it, right? Just a thought, right? Here's the other couple lies, and this comes back to the add a zero, right? Oh, well, that's just the health and wealth gospel. My bad. What'd you want? The sickness and poverty gospel? Is that what you're after? Right? See, Jesus paid a price for you to walk in divine health. See, we're busy worrying about praying for healing. Actually, the covenant isn't even healing. The covenant is divine health. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. All these 40 years when you were in the desert, your clothes didn't even wear out. Your feet weren't ever sore. Like, there's a divine health that comes from the wisdom of heaven, right? But we're so, oh, I don't want that. I don't want the health and wealth gospel. I'll just be sick and broke, right? Add a zero. You know, again, with your wealth, right? Why do we want to create wealth? Well, there's so many reasons. It comes back to dominion. I will say this. Without wealth, there is no dominion. Proverbs 22 says, the rich rule over the poor. See, as a body of Christ, we're supposed to have kingdom values so that God can entrust us with wealth. So it's not about me getting a Ferrari. It's about me having the overflow and abundance to create a tipping point in a region so that we can say, kingdom, come, will be done, right? And so that'll lead me into dominion. You know, again, for me, we've been on this journey as a family. My family's over there. They get embarrassed. I'm not going to make them stand up. Well, hey, honey, stand up and pray, you know? But we've been on this journey where it's like, Lord, I believe that like all this stuff in here, I'm supposed to have access to. Not part of it. I don't buy the whole, oh, well, God wrote us a book, so he's out. You know, that's lame, man. That's just, I hate that crap. You know, I'll tell you what I always pray. Sorry, can I say crap? I just said it. So, you know what I pray? Holy Spirit, every one of these churches that doesn't want you, would you give me their portion? I'll take them all. I just want to be so overwhelmed by you. I want to walk in such authority because I know you. That's what it says about the disciples. They could tell they didn't know anything. They were like, these guys, a bunch of fishermen, man. But they said they knew they had been with Jesus. Why? Probably because their shadows were healing people. Right? That's a good start. It's a good way to tell. What if that was the litmus test? Hey, bro, bring your shadow over here. Nah, get back in the prayer room, right? So, but, you know, I just was like, Lord, there's got to be more. Like, I believe that the call of God on every believer is this, and this is the Abrahamic call, that we would be blessed to overflowing so that we could be a blessing to all people. All people. Even the ones that don't deserve it. Even the ones we don't like. Even the ones that don't vote like us. Even the ones that don't talk like us or look like us or act like us. What would that look like? And I just don't see it in my life. And it's provoked me to just be like, I'm just not happy with this, man. It's not good enough. It's not what Jesus died for. Like what I'm operating in, I know, and I declare it every morning, I know these kingdom principles. I know the covenant. I know the promise. I know all those things that Jesus paid the price, the ultimate price, to bring me into. And I'm not walking in it. And that just, I don't know. I just can't let go of that, you know? I think a lot of times we just get to the point where we're like, oh, well, I guess they're right. God doesn't do that anymore. I'm just not going to go there. I just want to contend. I want to keep pressing. You know, there's so much of that, by the way, I'll probably land the plane with that, but like, I don't know why, but God loves perseverance, doesn't he? I mean, you don't ever have to pray for patience because you're going to have to take it and learn it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, don't worry about that one. He'll give you patience. Oh, Lord, don't give me patience, right? And so the revelation for me was this. What am I not operating in? I'm not operating in dominion. And so back at the very beginning of the book, I read it at the first service. I'll try not to say that too many times, but Genesis 1, verse 28. Then God blessed them. First of all, what did God do? Come on, dude. Come on. Everywhere I read throughout here, God blessed, God blessed, God blessed, God blessed, God blessed. Right? All right, Lord. I'm in. You have my yes. I'll take some blessing. Then God blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill, subdue, have dominion. When we were talking, I was talking with Pastor Brad up in the room, and I saw this vision. And I'm not like one of these, like, I've never been up to heaven. I'm not going to be like, oh, the Lord took me up, and an angel, you know, named Josiah said that. Like, I never had that stuff. That'd be cool. I'm into it if it happens. Yes, Lord, you know, but like, I didn't, but sometimes you'll just see that. You'll just sense something in the spirit, you know? And I saw, like, I know there's a church, because I saw it the last time I was here, that's, like, right on the side of the highway. It's a nice big church and all this stuff. I'm not saying, like, God's going to take that church and give it to you guys. But what I am saying is this. God wants to lift this church up. Hear me. God wants to lift it up. Amen. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's just not even possible. You can try. Can you really put it under a bushel? No, because the bushel will catch on fire. What's a bushel anyway? I guess like a basket. I don't know. But the point is this. Like, God is in the, he's right now. If you guys can press through this season, I'm telling you, if you can be faithful with this and push and get this vision, and this is why it takes a corporate group, right? These guys can't do it by themselves. See, God, he's looking for generals, man. He's looking for the mighty men in this season that are going to step up and be like, I'm into that. Let's go. Let's get after it. Let's fill, again, that's part of the Dominion mandate. Let's fill West Virginia. What's that look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like all these amazing people that are here that God's put his spirit into. You're going to get a promotion one of these days. It's not my job to promote you, so don't worry. I'm not going to be like, hey, you're this, and you're this. And you know. But the point is this. Your job is to prepare yourself because God is going to need people to fill. So everything you do here, you're just training for reigning. So many of this younger generation, you guys are just, I see it all over you guys. Like, You're gonna be leading some of these campuses that your pastors are gonna plant. I just see it. I'm not gonna do the job that's not my job, but that's how it's gonna happen. And so it's the Dominion mandate, right? God says, be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, have dominion. And we talked about the word dominion is radah. It means to have dominion, to subjugate, to subdue. We don't like that. I've some of the younger guys that I know, they're like, oh, well, you're just a Dominionist. I was like, yeah. Yeah. They're like, well, you're not. Well, bro, didn't you read your Bible? See, it's in the beginning. It's in Genesis. Then Jesus comes and he says, kingdom come, will be done. Right? It's not like, oh, Lord, could you do it? I'll pray the Diary of a Wimpy Christian. Jesus, can you just, I don't want to hurt your feelings. See, this is the issue, man. We haven't stepped into the ring. We've abdicated our place in culture, and we wonder why it's screwed up. Because we're the light of the world, and we're hiding in behind the church walls. Right? And so it's this. It's Jesus says, kingdom come, will be done. And then again, just like I read in the at the last service, Revelation chapter 1. Here we go. Verse 6. And this is talking about Jesus. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so Jesus, at the beginning of the book, interestingly too, at the beginning of the book, there's a garden and a tree. At the end of the book, there's a garden and a tree. In the middle, Psalm 1, what is there? There's a garden and a tree. God's a master storyteller, isn't he? I tell you this, you'll find your story in the Bible. And oftentimes, what the person that whose story looks like your story, the reason that they look similar is because you have a similar call. So if you're like, man, I'm like Peter, I'm always saying dumb stuff, you know? Well, that's probably part of your journey, right? You're on that thing, you know? If you're like, dang, I'm like Joseph, the Lord told me I'm supposed to rule and I'm in the dungeon, right? That's probably because you are supposed to be like Joseph. See, what's the thing? It's interesting, like Moses knew his calling, right? So he knew he was the deliverer. So what does he try to do out of his own strength? He tries to deliver out of the arm of the flesh. And I talked, and I'll break into this, the wisdom, stature, favor. See, he started trying to do it on his own, and it wasn't the right time. But then God brings him back to it when he's ready, when he's full. And he said, now you're going to deliver my people. But you know what's funny with God, too? Usually he'll ask you to come back when you don't want it anymore. I hate to say that, because some of you want things right now. God's going to wait. I'm not putting this on you. I'm just telling you how he does it, okay? Sorry. He's going to wait until it's like not shiny to you anymore. And you're like, I don't need that. Then he's going to say, now you're ready. Because now it's not about you. Now it's about me, right? And so dominion, it goes from Genesis all the way through Revelation, right? Now, what we have done in the church is this. We've not understood our role. So Jesus, again, he comes and he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And they say, Peter says, hey, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he says, hey, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you. I'll say to you, you are a little rock cut from the big stone. That's what Peter, Petros, is. And on this Petra, the big rock, the giant mountain, I'll build my kingdom, the mountain that is the revelation of Christ, right? By the way, what's a Christian? Little Christ, right? We get hung up on that, don't we? If I say, hey, you're Jesus, you need to go be Jesus to the world. You're like, no, it's not me, I'm not Jesus. I'm like, I don't know, that's what it says. It says he put his spirit into us. It says the same power that raised him from the dead is in us. It says that you are the light of the world. Now you're the light of the world. It's interesting. What in the Bible, what you encounter, you become. What you behold, you become. So like when you encounter the light of the world, you become the light of the world. That's why you have to watch what you're getting into, by the way. If you behold darkness, you become darkness. If that which was in you is darkness, how great is the darkness, right? That's what he's talking about with the two masters. That's part of the dominion mandate too. Subdue, right? But so Jesus says this, on this rock I'll build my church. We talked about this, right? So the word there, it's not synagogue, which is where they would go. They go to learn about Jesus, right? Or not Jesus, sorry. They go to learn about Yahweh, right? It's not synagogue, but it's also not temple, which is the Old Testament revelation on this, you know, that you would go to encounter God. So in David's day, they would go to the temple to encounter God. In their day, they would go to the synagogue to learn about God. But Jesus doesn't say either of those. He says, I'll build my ecclesia. And again, all the people that heard that, they understood because that was the culture they were in. It'd be like if you were reading a 2,000-year-old thing about TikTok, you know? And you're like, what is this TikTok thing? It's interesting, you know? So we lose some of the context of this stuff because we're like, I don't know what he's talking about. What, you know? But at the end of the day, if they were like, and your iPhone shall make you wise or whatever, and people 2,000 years, what's an iPhone, bro? What? What's a phone, right? But so what happens is this. The ecclesia, they understood because Rome borrowed that word from Greece. It was the ruling council. It was, they were the called out ones. So again, they were the men in that culture. It was men. They were men who were called out, and they said, we are calling you out to be a part of the ecclesia. We're calling you out to be a part of the ruling council. And they would have to go to the gate. Now, in the Bible, again, I'm going to unpack some things a little bit more than I did the first service. But in the Bible, everywhere you see gates, it represents places of authority. So all throughout Scripture, there's all these references with gates, right? Gates always represent authority. And Jesus says in that same verse, he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Well, what are we afraid of then? First of all, I mentioned it, but like, we're not hiding behind the gates and hell's crashing against us. We're going and ripping the gates of hell down. It's an offensive position, right? Our job is to come and invade hell and plunder it. That's a game changer there. Instead of being like, oh, let's just stay here. Let's be protected. I'm glad the walls are blocked, right? No. It's like, it's time to go, man. It's like the, let's roll. You know, like, it's time to go after these things. And again, the ecclesia, they would meet in the gate in the place of authority, and they would legislate. So what Jesus is saying to his church is this, on the revelation that I am Christ, but also that when you encounter me, you become like me, right? I'm going to put you as a leader in a place of authority so that you can legislate the kingdom that you are from. And that comes back to on earth as it is in heaven, right? So ironically, again, most of us grew up in this culture, if you grew up in church, or even if you've been around it long enough, where you hear all this stuff, oh, when we all get to heaven, you know, or I got a mansion, you know, all this heaven's, like, when you read Revelation chapter 22, we don't go up, heaven comes down. Like, I think a lot of Christians, like, you're going to die, and you're going to be going, and Jesus is going to be sneaking out the back door, and you're, hey, Lord, it took me 80 years that I'm here. Where are you going? Oh, I got to get down there. I spent all my life wanting to get up here, right? It's a weird, we got this weird revelation, because it's like, theoretically, again, I'm not suggesting this, I'm just trying to be sarcastic, but like, if somebody comes down here this morning and is like, yes, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, we should be like, go kill yourself right now so you can get to heaven, right? That makes no sense. See, your job, the will of God, the heart of the Father is this. He doesn't want to bring you to heaven. He wants to put heaven into you so that you can bring heaven to earth, right? And so that's the shift, guys. And we grew up with this goofy left-behind theology that Jesus is going to throw the earth away. That's why we don't have to worry about it. We can just litter and, you know, do whatever we want to do and destroy the earth. And again, I know sometimes we get weird about that stuff, but let's just be good stewards. Can we just leave it at that, right? If God made a garden, we should make it look good, right? It's like if I came to your house, right, and I walk in and there's garbage all over the floor, and it's just like the dogs are rolling around, you know, doing their thing, and you're, oh, well, Jesus is just going to come back. We're just going to let this place burn anyway. I'm like, nah, I don't need to eat here. We're good, right? But like, that's the mentality that we've kind of inherited as the church. And so we wonder why the world looks the way it does, right? Man, why is this place like insane? Why do we have all this cultural stuff? And why do things, it's interesting in the Bible, it talks about, it specifically is like, they'll call the thing that is wrong, right? You know? And that's the world we live in right now. It's like, everything that for the, you know, my entire life, it was like, no, that's wrong. Now it's like, oh, that, yeah, no, that's good. You can do that. Like, it's crazy to me. I mean, we can look at our culture and say, man, I don't understand, like, whether it's the transgender thing or whether it's the mobs of, like, teenagers and adults looting places and just lawlessness everywhere. Like, what's the issue with all this? How do we end up here? Well, I'll tell you how we ended up here. The church was not the ecclesia. The church was not the ruling legislative authority on the earth. And Jesus didn't say, hide until I come. He said, occupy. We haven't been doing that. Oh, well, Jesus is just going to come and throw it away. What Jesus says in Revelation is this. First of all, here's what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I make all new things. He says, I make all things new. There's a big shift there. It sounds subtle. But see, God, all throughout his book, if you look all his ways, he always takes our mistakes and makes them into amazing things. He takes our ashes and he makes beauty. He takes our mourning and he makes a garment of praise. You know, he's in the nature of redemption. But we've somehow missed this, right? And that's where our world looks the way it does. Because we're the light of the world and we haven't been shining. It's the Isaiah 60 thing. I got into this earlier, but like, it starts in 59, and it's like, it don't look good, Lord, right? And 59 is all about darkness. It's all about how there's a bunch of bad stuff going down, and justice is far from us, and righteousness over, you know, is bad. And it says this. It says 59:19. Is this the, yeah, here you go. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That's where we're at right now. And then Isaiah 60 is this. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Gentiles shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. And here's one the church always loves, but we don't understand how to do it, okay? The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. How many times have you heard, if you grew up in church, oh, the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous. You heard that a million times, right? Where is it? Why aren't we operating in that? See, a lot of us have grown up with this idea that God was going to break his own Ten Commandments and steal someone else's money and give it to us because he liked us better. Let's call it what it is, right? Oh, they're wicked. He's going to take their wealth and give it to me. Well, listen, how does that happen? There is a way that happens. It's the dominion mandate. And so I'm gonna unpack this: be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, have dominion. And just, again, I'm not going to preach the eternal gospel, but I want to unpack this. And I want to say specifically to you, I'm speaking to this ecclesia because I know that God is looking to elevate this group. But you got to add a zero, man. There needs to be 1,000. I mean, at least get 300. That's what Gideon had, right? Whose job is that? I know it's the Holy Spirit's job, okay? Our job is to co-labor, right? What I'm not talking about is this. I'm not talking about the American gospel, make converts of all people. I'm talking about the kingdom gospel, make disciples. And the reality is this. Jesus called us to disciple nations. That's what he says. The reason America looks the way it does is because we have not discipled our nation. We let other people come in and do it. Again, I said it in the first service. The reason that our children stand in universities that 100 and 200 years ago were founded to be missionary outposts to further the gospel, they stand in the center of those campuses and say, death to America and death to Israel, is because someone else with someone else's agenda has pushed dominion on them. We're losing the culture war because we're too afraid. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? sorry, this is a Diary of a Wimpy Christian. This is my wimpy Christian voice. Oh, you know, kind of, I'm so sorry. No, listen, your job is to be the ecclesia, to say, hey, listen, I don't know how it works where you come from, but this is my territory. Everywhere the sole of my foot treads is mine. This doesn't happen in my territory. I'm sorry. I talked about it in the first service. Sorry. Human trafficking doesn't happen in Fairmont. My bad. I guess that's where you come from that happens. See, here we have dominion. One of the words for radah means to scrape out. Sometimes we got to scrape some stuff out, guys. I'm speaking this in the spirit, but I'm telling, here's the thing too. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities, right? I get that. Everything God wants to do on this earth, this is where we've gone wrong with the church. Lord, would you do it? Would you do it? It's the, I love Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Well, that's one of my favorite, man. I'm like, dude, just do it, Lord. I love that, right? But the reality is this. Everything God wants to do on this earth, he does it through a man. Everything. If God wants to bless you, he doesn't wire money from heaven's bank account. Your bank would be like, what bank did this come from? This is so weird. It's 777-77777. It's $1 million. No, that doesn't happen. See, if God wants to give money to you, here's how he does it. He does it through another man. See, this is what we fail to understand. We just think, oh, I'm just going to go pray longer. And God says, no, you're supposed to have dominion. See, we gotta take and put our boots on and get after it, right? And so what happens is this. The same thing that happens in the kingdom of darkness. If Satan wants to do something, I got news for you. He's going to do it through a person. It is what, look, we're on YouTube. I don't really want to say too much, you know. But like, there are people that are billionaires who fund the kingdom of darkness. You know their names and so do I. It just is what it is. The issue is this. They have dominion and we don't. See, unfortunately, we've missed this wealth piece, guys. I'm going to speak about this a little bit tonight, actually. I'm going to talk about what the kingdom culture is supposed to look like tonight. But what we've done is we don't need money. I just need just enough. Just enough to put gas in the car, Lord, and I'm happy. And God's like, I need people that I can entrust with billions of dollars so that they can fund the kingdom. See, kingdom can't come when you're broke. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen. Kingdom can't come when you don't have an army. Now, I know this. God works through a remnant. This is a remnant church. I'm a part of that remnant church. I'm a part of a remnant culture. Like, listen, I don't need to be in the 10,000-member church that has a form of godliness but no power. I want to be in the remnant church that does it all, baby. That's just like, yes, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Right? That's what Jesus said, that these signs shall follow, right? But part of the reality is this. God needs to raise up people, kingdom wealth creators, who understand how to create wealth. See, that's Deuteronomy. That's the covenant in Deuteronomy 8:18. He's given you the power to get wealth. And that is actually a sign of his covenant with you. What if the people understand? Let me say this, just talking about wealth. And again, I don't want to go down this rabbit trail too far, but I'm going to unpack this a little more tonight. Jesus says this, if you can't be entrusted with unrighteous mammon, a.k.a. money, how can you be entrusted with true riches? What if the reason that we don't see more healings in our church is because we're not stewarding wealth properly? I don't know. That's just what Jesus said. Thanks for at least somebody saying that was good, you know. So, but dominion mandate, right? And so here's what he says. Be fruitful. Be fruitful is this. Whether it's your health, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a business, whether it's a church, whatever that dream is in your heart, your job is this. The word became flesh. You get it? Your job is to somehow bring that thought, that dream, that desire, and manifest it. The chair you're sitting on right now was a thought in somebody's head. The iPhone or Android, if you got an Android, we'll pray for you later. But whatever the phone is, okay? Like, what? That was a dream in someone's heart. That was a thought. Like, think about it. Like, I grew up, you know, back in the day, like, you know, we didn't even have cell phones, you know what I mean? Like, oh, let me go find a phone and call you, you know? My kids grew up, they're funny. They call it, oh, is that from the 1900s, Dad? And I'm like, yeah, that is. It's like the Old West, you know? But again, that was a thought in someone's mind. The car you drive in, someone in their mind was like, I think we could do, if I put this thing here and this thing here, can you imagine, like, when they first got started, they're like, oh, we need a steering wheel. Darn it. You know, like, but the reality is this, everything that comes to us, everything that we see in this world, it's the clothes we're wearing, whatever it is, started as a thought. And this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God, right? Your job, be fruitful. Whatever this desire in your heart is, your job is to make it manifest. The word became flesh. Here's the interesting thing, too. So that's John 1. John 3, he says this, that which is from above is above all. This is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. Here's the reality. When God births something into your spirit, that spirit realm has authority and dominion over the natural realm. That's why we're seated in heavenly places. Your job is to understand. It's kind of like fumbling around in the dark, right? I don't get it either, right? But it's by faith that we access these things, right? So be fruitful. You just start it and you get it going. Next thing you know, you're sitting in a room full of a bunch of other people, right? Now, this is where Kings, West Virginia, Kings East Coast, I don't know. I will say this. I know this and you guys already know this. And this is a word. God is elevating you to regional apostolic authority. You know this. It's already been spoken by your apostolic covering. This is not me imparting something onto you. I'm recognizing that in front of your tribe here because there's going to be a shift. There's going to be a shift even in the way you present yourself, even in the way you deliver, whether it's the word or the prayer or whatever. I'm telling you, there's a new shift of authority that's coming on you guys as you just say yes and start to step into it. And it's kind of like the whole, you start off as Abram and Sarai, and then suddenly you become Abraham and Sarah. You know, there's just that, I don't know how, I don't know. It's just, it's the shift. But you're growing into it. And again, your job, all of our jobs too, we got to be the mighty men. We're the ones who are also being lifted up. A rising tide lifts all boats, right? We want a culture of, that's what Jesus had, by the way, a culture of greatness. Did you ever notice? What are the disciples always fighting about? Who's the greatest? Do you ever see Jesus rebuke them? Nope. He's like, I don't know, man. I don't know, Peter. Maybe John is the greatest. I'm just, you know? Why? We need a culture of greatness. We need David's mighty men. Like, what if every week there were testimony after testimony after testimony of the exploits? Those who know their God will do great exploits. What if you come back every single week and you're like, this is what God did? And I'm not just talking about, oh, brother, I was at Walmart and I handed somebody a track. And they waited till I was away from them to throw it away. I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about this. Hey, I just went out and I got a $1 million contract on the business that God put in my heart. And now that's a kingdom resource to resource this kingdom so that light can overtake darkness. I'm talking about, hey, I prayed for my uncle who had this thing and he was healed. Boom, on the spot. Not like the whole my leg grew thing. Hey, move your hip a little bit so it looks like, nah. I'm talking like legit crazy stuff. What if every week when you come back, there wasn't even time to preach. It was like testimony, 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 testimony. This is the culture of greatness. They come back to Jesus. They're like, dude, it's amazing. Like, we cast out demons. They were like, oh, leave us alone. Like, that we healed people. They're all like fired up. And Jesus is like, yeah, good job. Like, he wasn't like, oh, shame on you. That's my glory. Why didn't you say that was for me? See, this is what we miss too. God wants you to have glory. If you don't have glory, you don't have light. If you don't have light, Gentiles can't come to your light. If you don't have light, kings can't come to the brightness of your rising. See, the kings are the ones that open up doors. You need light, you need glory, so that kings come to you, and then you can grow into that glory, right? Then all you have to say is this, hey, you guys know me. I'm not that smart. I'm not that awesome. I'm awesome, but not that awesome, right? It's like, it's Jesus, man. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, I didn't work hard for it, but, like, I couldn't have got here. It was him. See, be fruitful, multiply, right? Now, natural mastery is a prerequisite. Don't worry, I'm not going to go forever, but I'm going to unpack this. Natural mastery is a prerequisite for multiplication. See, what will happen is this. I talked about this in the first service. Wisdom, stature, favor. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor. Samuel grew in wisdom, stature, and favor. In what will happen is out of your faith, you are going to pull this thing prematurely into your realm. And we were talking about this. Hiddenness, guys, is a blessing of the Lord. If you're in a season where you feel like you're supposed to be revealed and God has you hidden, I'm telling you, he's doing it for your benefit. Because what happens inevitably with all of us is this. We get the thing through favor, and then it increases our stature, but we don't have the wisdom to sustain it. That's what he says in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, again, chapter 7, hey, listen, I'm going to drive out these people, but not all at once. Why? Because you're not great enough to steward the land, and animals would overtake it, right? So that's what God's doing in us. See, he wants to start us on this process. Inevitably, it'll go like this. Favor, stature, but you won't have wisdom, and then you'll fumble it. That's just how it works. Google anybody that succeeds, right? It goes like this. Boop, 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 and then, right? And you never come back, right? Here's the goal. You have to learn whatever the thing is. If it's a business, if it's a relationship, if it's your health, whatever this thing is, this is all applicable to life. It's not about what happens behind these walls. It's about what happens when we go out, right? When you learn to master in the natural, the domain that God's called you to, that's when you're poised for multiplication. I'm telling you this because I learned it the hard way. Out of wisdom, then will come stature, then will come favor. That's the way God wants to do it. Phil. What's Phil? Not P-I-H-L or P-H-I-L, right? Phil. See, when you multiply, eventually you get to the point, and this comes back to the tipping point, where the whole thing is filled. That's where Jesus says, it's a good measure, pressed down, shaken together. You shake it, right? Like you ever want to fill something up? Like you're a little kid and you got your like Halloween candy, right? And you're like, shake it so you can get a little more in there, right? See, the process of filling is where you hit that tipping point. See, as a culture, you guys aren't there yet. But I'm telling you, if you continue to steward through multiplication, this is how God does it. You get, be fruitful, then you multiply. So your first harvest is where you tend to usually fumble it. I hate to say that, but that's just the way it works. But then if you get to that second harvest, now all of a sudden you're living in multiplication. By the way, the only place that I could ever see, first of all, God doesn't know how to divide. He's terrible at math. Doesn't know how to divide. He doesn't know how to subtract. I saw one place in the Bible that he adds. It's in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be. And I was always bothered by that. I'm like, Lord, this is weird. Every other place, multiply, 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 multiply. That's the nature. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Seed is the principle of multiplication. Finally, the Holy Spirit told me one day, and this isn't like I'm so brilliant. This was just like I knew the Holy Spirit was like, this is why. Because if you don't already possess it, he can't multiply it. See, zero times a million is still zero. That's why he has to add these things to you. That's part of filling. So he's like, oh, you need this piece of wisdom, right? Let me add this to you. Now all of a sudden, once you possess it, now I can multiply it. That's the only time God adds. But he only adds so that you can multiply. And so it works from seed to harvest back to seed. Every time you get a harvest, that's where you see multiplication. And I just speak prophetically over this house. This is a season of multiplication. I just speak it in the name of Jesus. Not only numbers numerically, I'm telling you, how does a church grow? It's the same recipe as Isaiah 60. Your light shines, and people are attracted to your light. People are shallow, man. They want to be on a winning team. It just is what it is. We all do. You can have your team. You're like, go Steelers, right? Or go WVU, go Mountaineers, right? And if they start tanking, you're like, man, I knew those guys were jerks, you know? Like, but like that. Everybody wants to be on a winning team. What's the principle? When you begin to have light, you begin to attract. That's what I speak over this house. I'm telling you, you're going to rise. This is a season of rising. How do you do it? Israel knew the deeds. Moses knew the ways. We have to learn the ways of God. Be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue. Subdue is a big one. And don't worry, I'm almost done. What you tolerate will eventually dominate. And what you don't take dominion over will take dominion over you. You need proof of that? Pull up your phone and look at the news. Look at our culture. Look at the world we're in. Right? If we, again, I have people be like, oh, Johnny, you're a dominionist. Yeah. Either you're going to push your kingdom come, the kingdom that you represent, or someone else's kingdom will rule. It's that simple. Oh, you're just a Christian nationalist. Yeah, I'll buy that. Cool, I'm in. Yeah, let's do it. I got news for you, too, by the way. You can go everywhere you want to go. You want to go Washington, D.C., you go to the Supreme Court, you go to everywhere. There's scripture everywhere. They can't even, what are they going to do, scratch it all off? You can't, man. It's in the blood, man. It's already in the DNA. It's in the root, right? Like, that's what's happening, though. There is a battle of culture. And here's what the enemy comes to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. I said this in the first service. If there's something in your life where you're wondering if this is demonic or just natural, like, is this just a spirit of stupid on me, or is this a demonic attack? If it comes with steal, kill, and destroy, it's an attack. Now, here's another lesson that I've learned the hard way. The way that that attack comes is there's always an open door that you've left open. So if you have an attack in your life of something that has dominion over you personally, it's because somewhere there's been an access point. It could be stupidity. It could be disobedience. It could be rebellion. There's so many little things. But listen, your job is to get with the Holy Spirit and say, hey, Lord, where did I mess up? Where is this open door? See, like in our house every year, I don't care what we do, man, whether it's like we go straight up like toxic raid, or we go like hippie, like mix up lemon water or something. We get ants in our kitchen. And the first couple times I was like, oh, they're God's creatures. Oh, consider the ant, right? And then finally I was just like, you know what? I don't come in your house and steal your food. Get out. And unfortunately, like that's where, when Erica and I we got married, her pastor was one of the guys that was part of our officiating the wedding. And he said something that's always stuck to me, and it's a scripture, but like he had this really cool like Scottish accent. I think it was Welsh, but anyway, I was like, can you just read the phone book, bro? You know, just stand up here and like, but he said this. He said, listen, beware of the little foxes. Always stuck with me. And I'm going to be honest, anytime, if I ever look back on my life, the root of it was always little foxes. It was the little ants that I didn't start squashing. And then the next thing you know, I got a whole kitchen full of ants. Oh, how beautiful. God made all these ants. Nope. Now it's like, you know. The issue is this, dominion. The thing that you tolerate, guys, I'm telling you this, you got to guard your heart with all diligence. See, what God wants is this. He wants a beautiful bride that looks like him. And I said this in the first service. I don't know that the reason that Jesus hasn't returned yet is anything other than this. Jesus is not going to come back for a beat down, haggard, terrible looking bride. And that's where we're at right now. He's like, I ain't marrying that. No, Lord. You know? Get back to the salon in Jesus' name, you know? I'm telling you this. If God won't let you be unequally yoked, why would he have his son? What if we are the reason that Jesus hasn't returned? And he's like, man, y'all better figure this out. Right? But it's this. This is the process of dominion. It's growing into all things, right? And again, in our culture, guys, we need people. It's not just about what we do here on Sunday. God needs people that are kingdom business people that create wealth. God needs people that are called to go on their local school board to say, hey, man, we're not pushing this agenda in this school. Why? Because this is my dominion. Now, part of it is you have to have the wisdom. See, what Jesus says in Luke, he says this, the sons of this world are more shrewd than the children of light. We got to be smarter than we are, too. You can't go in there and be like, oh, we're going to take this school board over for Jesus, right? Sometimes you got to come in there like shrewd as a serpent. You know, that's a whole other message. But he needs people to come in that say, I'm a kingdom person and I want to step into the realm of politics because I believe that our world needs Christian politicians that are bringing Christian values, right? What is the sphere you're called to? Because everywhere God calls you to, I'm telling you this, it's a gate that he has placed you as the ecclesia under, and you have authority. Your job is to know where you're called to be. This is where we get mixed up too. We get out of our realm of authority, and then we're like, why isn't this working, Lord? You know? Like, I love politics, but I know specifically, because I would love to, like, go into politics, because I think it's super cool, but, like, the Lord told me straight up, Johnny, I haven't called you to that, and you're not allowed to go there. Well, if I did that, here's the thing, too. If I became president of the United States, and God told me not to do it, did I succeed? No. What are you called to? Maybe you're called to be a mom. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she raised four sons that are now impacting their culture. She was obedient to her calling. Hi, Mom, if you're watching this. But that was what she was called to. What are you called to? See, we always want to, oh, well, I wasn't president. I'm not Elon Musk, so I guess I didn't fulfill my mandate. Well, if God didn't call you to be Elon Musk and you become Elon Musk, you failed. You got to know what you're called to, because inside of that calling is the dominion mandate. And here's my last thought, and then we'll land the plane. Inevitably, guys, if you want to pursue this, I'm telling you, it's not going to be an overnight process. If you think it is, you didn't read the Bible, man. I hate to say it. Like, here's what happens. God always gives the promise in seed form. I was saying earlier, just yesterday, I went to pull a weed up out of our garden, and it had an acorn stuck on the bottom. It was the beginning of an oak tree. That little oak acorn fell into the mulch bed, and it somehow grabbed a root, and it started to grow. Eventually, if I left that thing there, it would be a giant oak tree. Right? The promise always starts in seed form. And here's the part we don't like, man. We got to go through the process. But in the process is where God makes you into the person who can carry the weight of the thing he's called you to. Even Jesus, guys, think about it. Here is God, right? He comes to earth. How is it he takes 30 years to make this happen, right? It's interesting. I wish we had more of that whole, like, Jesus when he was, like, young and all that. Like, that may be, like, a DVD, like, when you get to heaven. You could be like, or I guess they don't even make DVDs anymore. That's one of those things they don't even do anymore. But, like, hey, could I see the video of Jesus when he was, like, 16, right? But even Jesus had a process. It's interesting, if you see what Jesus, he knew the process, and he goes and he says to John the Baptist, I need you to baptize me. And what's John the Baptist say? I'm not even worthy to untie your sandal, bro. But Jesus says this, listen, permit it to be so, because it's necessary. As soon as Jesus submitted himself to the process, what happens? Heaven opens, and God says, this is my beloved son. Dude, that's a powerful revelation. I'm telling you, some of you need to just say yes to the process, and heaven's going to open. That's prophetic. Abraham, he gets a promise. He's 75. First of all, I'm like, come on, Lord. Come on, man. Why are you dragging this dude out, right? Did you ever feel like that? God, why are you dragging me out, man? Why are you doing this? He has this thing in his heart. God tells him he's always obedient. If you look with Abraham, it's always like the same day, early in the morning. He's so fast to obey. That's a principle right there. But Abraham goes, And he goes, he's 75, and he's like, look, Lord, should Eleazar of Damascus be my heir? Come on, man. I got nothing. Then he has Ishmael, and he's like, listen, let your blessing fall on Ishmael. But God's like, no, that's not the promise. And this is where a lot of us are, guys. This scripture's been on my heart all morning. It's it's Hebrews 10. And then I'll land the plane with a little thought about Abraham. All right, Hebrews 10, verse 23. I just speak this over you guys this morning. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I just say that again. He who promised is faithful. I love at the end of that chapter, it says this. We're not those who shrink back. We're those who reach out and obtain the promise. And so in Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham. And it says, Abraham, God comes to Abraham. It's the God, by the way, who calls dead things back to life and calls those things which are not as though they are. What's your job? You're supposed to become that. You're supposed to be one who calls dead things back to life. You're supposed to be one who calls those things which are not as though they are. Right? But it says this, he did not waver at the promise of God in unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, because he believed that he was able to do what he promised. Why don't you stand up and we'll land the plane? Here's the question. What's in your heart this morning? You know what the word desire means? The Latin, de sire, of the Father. If there's a dream in your heart, and you gave your heart to Jesus, and you're coming before him, and you're worshiping him, and you're seeking his face, why would you believe anything in your heart's not from him? Now, if you're like, I just want to go steal from people, I'm like, we'll pray for you in a minute, right? But like I'm saying, if it's a kingdom desire, hey, I feel called to this, or I feel called to that, right? Why would you doubt it? If I feel called to business, why would you doubt a desire in your heart? Day sire is not of the Father. See, a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Your job, guys, is to hold on to the promise. And so this idea of dominion, guys, right? It's a process. Be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, have dominion. But this is the process, guys, that he has created that walks us through so that we're kings. And I said it in the first service, Jesus is the King of Kings. You are the kings. And ironically, it's the name of the church, right? Come on, right? Kings. Kings is supposed to be full of kings. It's time, guys. I'm telling you, I'm going to talk about this tonight. Identity. You got to shift your identity. You're not just, I'm just a this, I'm just a that, whatever your thought is. No, I'm a king. I talked about kings in the first service, right? Kings walk in authority, right? Kings have dominion. That's what you're called to. And it's the process. So if, again, I did this already, but I want to do it again. If you're not in the family already, if you're not in the king's family, and what I mean by that is a follower of Jesus, if you're like, I don't know, man.